Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Who is Jesus? That has been the guiding question for us as we have been making our way through the gospel according to John. And John has helped us to find an answer to that question in a variety of ways. He begins his gospel by explaining that Jesus is divine, that he has always existed. Indeed, he is God. And through him, all things that have been created are created. John moves on to share that Jesus is someone who calls people to himself in order to disciple them that they may follow him. Jesus is someone who teaches people, shares with them the truth of God about the kingdom of God. Who is Jesus? Jesus is someone who is able to do miracles, amazing miracles, that display the power of God and give evidence for his claim to be the Son of God and be working in the world on the behest of his heavenly Father. Who is Jesus? John also tells us who Jesus is to his opponents, to those who will not believe in him. To his opponents, Jesus is someone who is full of himself. Indeed, someone who is full of dangerous spiritual ideas. Indeed, one who commits heresy by claiming to be the Son of God. This morning, we're going to have an opportunity through yet another story from John's Gospel to see who Jesus is for three of his closest friends, as well as who Jesus is for one who should have been a close friend, but as it turns out, is not. And as we look at this story and look at these four people, it will also give us an opportunity to ask again the question, well, who is Jesus for me? Not who is Jesus theologically or who is Jesus historically, but who is Jesus relationally? Who is Jesus for me? So I invite you to turn with me to the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, and I'll be reading for us the first 8 verses of this chapter. If you'd like to follow along in the Bible that you'll find in your pews, it's on page 894. And this is what John tells us. That 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." So we meet again these three very close friends of Jesus who we've met before in the gospel, Martha and Lazarus and Mary. Now, the first time that we met Martha and Mary was earlier in the ministry of Jesus. when, as Jesus was coming through their town there in Bethany, these two women had invited Jesus and his disciples into their home for a meal. While Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to him, Martha was busy in the kitchen making a meal for all of these people. And as she worked in the kitchen, she was becoming more and more agitated because she was getting worried about all the work that it took to put together the meal. It was just becoming too much for her. She was becoming anxious. Perhaps things weren't coming together well. Perhaps the oven wasn't working the way it should. Perhaps she discovered she didn't have all the ingredients she thought she had in her pantry. Whatever the issue was, she was becoming more and more upset. And finally, she kind of blew up and she stormed into the room where Jesus was sitting with Mary and the disciples. And she said, "Jesus, don't you even care that I am working so hard in the kitchen and I have no help? Tell my sister Mary to come and to help me." And Jesus looked at Martha, and Jesus loved Martha and said, "Oh, Martha, you are worried about so many details of your life. Right now you're worried about all the details of getting a meal together. You have become anxious and upset and frustrated. But Martha, know this, that there's only one thing worthy of being truly concerned. Only one thing in your life that should take the priority of all your attention and all of your energy. Everything else is secondary. And Mary, your sister, she has discovered that one thing. And who is that one thing? Thing that is worthy of our concern? Who is that one person who we should be willing to make everything else secondary, to consider everything else as less important than him? Well, as our story reveals today, and as we see through these three close friends of Jesus, that one person is Jesus himself. He is the one who is worthy of our primary focus and attention. And he is the one who is worthy of making sure that nothing else takes the place. Nothing else in life becomes more important than him. See, Martha was a servant. Martha expressed her love and her care for people through serving them. Perhaps she was like many of us who have a harder time expressing our love in words. It's easier for us to do it in action. And Martha was a person who acted out the love that she had for Jesus. And in the story today, here in John chapter 12, Martha has learned from Jesus. Today, in this meal, she serves Jesus out of the love of her heart. She is so grateful to Jesus, and certainly grateful that Jesus has just recently, in just a few weeks before this meal, raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. Who is Jesus for Martha? Jesus is someone that Martha loves. And the way in which she expresses her love for Jesus is by serving him. And so from the example of Martha, both from the time in which she had her priorities a bit mixed up, to this time here after the raising of her brother, we too can learn, and we can come to understand that the way in which we may love Jesus, and hopefully Jesus is for all of us one that we want to love, we can love him by serving. Yes, he is not here physically to serve like Martha was able to serve him physically and personally. But Jesus himself says that whenever we care for the least of these, that is for those who are in need, whatever that need may be, When we serve them in Jesus' name, then we are serving Him. Whenever you did this for the least of these, you have done it for me. Who is Jesus for us? May He be the one that we love, and may we express our love through service. Lazarus, we're told, while his sister Martha was serving, was at the table with Jesus. While Martha expressed her love through service, Lazarus expressed his love through fellowship. See, Lazarus was happy. Lazarus was content. Lazarus was pleased to simply be with Jesus, to be there at the table with Jesus, to listen to Jesus as Jesus spoke, to express his appreciation to Jesus. And of course, he had so much to be grateful for. To simply to be there with Jesus was how he expressed his love for Jesus. And you know, Jesus had raised him from the dead in order that he, Jesus, may be with Lazarus, may be with the one that he, Jesus, loved. And so that Lazarus may express his love for Jesus by being present with Jesus. See, Jesus didn't raise Lazarus so Lazarus could be out on the speaking circuit, out signing books, out being the celebrity man who had been raised from the dead. See, that would have been very natural. And indeed, if Lazarus lived in our day, and if it had become public knowledge that someone who'd been raised from the dead, can you only imagine the media circus that would have surrounded Lazarus in our day today? But even 2,000 years ago, it would have been easy for Lazarus to make hay out of what had just happened. In the verses immediately after the ones that I read in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 12, it says that people heard that Jesus was at Bethany and they came to see him, but they also came to see Lazarus. All of Jerusalem, we're told, was talking about Lazarus, the man who had been raised from the dead. Lazarus could have given in to this. He could have been part of the circus. But that's not how he desired to show his love for Jesus. I am content to be here with Jesus. I want to be close to him. And I want to express to him my love for him by being with him and telling him how grateful I am for all that he's done for me in my life. And so it is for you and for me in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus did not die on a cross and then be raised from the dead just so that you and I could receive new life and then go live that life however we wanted. Thank you, Jesus. We kind of waved by. We appreciate everything you did for us. Now we're going to go out and do our thing. No, Jesus gave us new life, just like he gave Lazarus new life, so that we may be daily, continually in fellowship with him. Because it is through that new life and through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us as a part of that new life that indeed we can be as close to Jesus each and every day as Lazarus was to Jesus at that meal. Indeed, we can be even closer because while Lazarus was there in a physical way, we can be close to Jesus every day spiritually. And God is spirit, says Scripture. And so as we spend daily time in God's Word, as we spend daily time in prayer, as we significantly and specifically consider who is Jesus and what has he done for me and what am I grateful for, and being careful not to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm on my way, but to say, Jesus, let's be together again. We are fulfilling the very purpose for which Jesus has given us new life. And who is Jesus for us? He is the one we love, and we express our love by being continually in fellowship with him, staying close to him. When Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples on the night before he was crucified, he said, I am about to go away. But I go to prepare a place for you because I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you with me so that, and here's the purpose of the whole thing. Here's the reason I'm doing all of this. Here's why I'm dying. Here's why I'll be raised. Here's why I'm going to heaven. And here's why one day I will be coming back. He says, so that you may be with me where I am. Jesus wants that more than anything. He wants us to be with him. And so like Lazarus, when we ask the question, who is Jesus for me? May he be the one we love. And may we express that love by being with him. And that's not so hard for us to understand as human beings, is it? Think of someone that you love. Think of someone that is so important to you. What do you desire more than anything with that person? It's to be with them. Now, if you get to hang around with them 24/7, maybe every now and then, you'd like to have a little bit of distance. But if there's someone who lives like 2,000 miles away in Texas, you can't wait for the summer when you get to be with them again, or wherever your loved one may be. Because what does love desire? It desires fellowship. And maybe in the meantime, the best thing you can do is phone calls and FaceTime and all the other things that we do with our media capability. But there's nothing like being with them. And we can be with Jesus each and every day. He has made it possible. Who is Jesus for you and me? May he be the one that we love. And may we express that love by intentionally every day saying, Jesus, I want to be with you today. I'm going to be with you in prayer. I'm going to be with you in your word. I am going to simply be with you by thinking about you and saying again how much I love the fact that you have been gracious to me and you have saved me. So for Martha, Jesus was someone that she loved and she was able to express that love through service. And for Lazarus, Jesus was someone he loved and he was able to express that love through fellowship. And for Martha, Jesus was someone that she loved, and she was able to express that love through sacrifice, through extravagant giving. Somehow, we're not told how Mary has procured a jar of very expensive perfume. We're told that it would be worth thousands and thousands of dollars in today's money. So as Jesus is sitting down at the meal, it might have been natural, might have been normal for Mary to take one or two drops of this incredibly expensive jar or perfume, one or two drops, and just anointed Jesus with that. A beautiful fragrance to honor him. But Mary's heart is filled with love for him. It is overflowing within her. She is so grateful to Jesus. She loves Jesus so much. She cares so much about him. And probably without really thinking it through, she takes the whole thing and pours it all over Jesus. And it is running down Jesus. And she kneels before him, and the excess that is coming off of his feet, she takes her hair and she dries his feet with her hair. Who is Jesus for Mary? For Mary, Jesus is someone that she loves, and the way in which she expresses that love is true to her nature, and her nature is to be extravagant. Her nature is to take something that is precious, something that is materially expensive, and say, I want to give my very best to Jesus. That's who Jesus is for Mary. I don't know if you're familiar with James Taylor. He was a musician, and especially in the 70s, he was very, very popular. And in fact, one of the most popular songs of the 1970s was a song called Shower the People. I don't know if you know that song. I have the lyrics of the first verse here, and I just want to read them for you. James Taylor. You can play the game, you can act out the part, even though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how can you stand there with a broken heart, ashamed of playing the fool? One thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are going to work out fine if only you will do as I say. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are going to be much better if you only will. See, Mary was not ashamed of playing the fool. And what she did looked foolish to the people who were there. In John's story, it's Judas who speaks up. In Luke and Matthew and Mark, where we have a similar story, the disciples are the ones who speak. But here it's Judas, and he's ridiculing what she's doing. He's calling it into question. He's saying it's wrong. She's making a spectacle of herself. She's willing to be a fool for Jesus, but it is the only way she knows how to shower him with love. This is what she feels deeply within her heart. This is who Jesus is for her, someone who is worthy of extravagance in the way in which she expresses herself. That doesn't make her better than her sister Martha or than her brother Lazarus, but it makes her different. While Martha is quietly serving through the kitchen and Lazarus is there at the table, she is willing to make a spectacle of herself. She's willing to be a fool for the one that she loves, and she gives sacrificially to him. So who is Jesus for Mary? Jesus is someone who is worthy of going all out in showing her love for him, and she does it here in this instance. It is impossible to love, to truly love, without giving. See, you can give without really loving the object of your gift. Outwardly, you can give something, but inwardly, you can feel rather cold towards that person or towards whatever it is that you're giving. But if you truly love someone, then that love is going to come out in giving. Whether it's the giving of service or the giving of fellowship or the giving of extravagance. But see, there is one in this story who gives, and on the surface he looks like a giver. He looks like a true disciple of Jesus, but it is not motivated by love. And that's Judas. See, Judas is someone who has outwardly given to Jesus. He, like the other disciples, has left his occupation. He has spent now 3 years with Jesus, traveling with Jesus. He has given of his time and energy to Jesus. He has done work on Jesus' behalf, but here's the problem. He still loves himself more than he loves Jesus. He still loves himself more than he loves Jesus. And so, unlike Martha and Lazarus and Mary, when he gives, it is not an expression of love. Indeed, when he gives, it is an expression of seeking to gain something for himself. For he loves himself more than he loves Jesus. See, he loves his own sense of right and wrong. I love the fact that I can stand here and I can judge Mary and decide that what she has done is inappropriate and the money should have been sold and given, or the perfume should have been sold and the money given to the poor. I love the fact that I have a righteous idea of right and wrong. He loved that about himself. He loved to be the holder of the money bag because he could help himself a little every now and then to what he felt that he needed, what he wanted, and probably self-righteously he had come up with some rationale for why that was okay. Probably thinking, you know, I work hard. I deserve a little of this for myself. I'm not going to tell anybody, but he loved himself more than he loved Jesus. And most damaging is that he loved his own expectations of Jesus, his own way of saying, Jesus, this is who you are supposed to be for me. This is what you're to do for me. This is the kind of person you're to be. I want you to be a king. I want you to be able to conquer the Romans. I want you to put yourself up as the king of Israel, having conquered the Romans, and then the 12 of us, well, we get, you know, we're part of the inner circle. And so we're going to have some pretty nice perks. For 3 years, we've been following you, walking the dusty roads of Galilee and Samaria and Judea, but now we're going to live in palaces. We're going to be honored. We're going to be dressed in nice clothes because we serve you, the king. That's what I expect of you. That's what I thought I was going to get out of this. Because he loved himself more than he loved Jesus. And he could not hear, he was unwilling to hear Jesus speaking of service and of suffering and of humility. And when he says, if you want to be great, you must be the least. See, Judas loved himself more than he loved Jesus. Who was Jesus for Judas? Jesus for Judas was someone to see what he, Jesus, could do for him, Judas. And when Jesus didn't meet his expectations, then Judas turned his back on Jesus. Then Judas walked away from Jesus. Indeed, he even went so far as betraying Jesus because he loved himself more than Jesus. Who is Jesus for you and for me? Is he truly someone that we love more than we love ourselves? Is he truly someone for whom we are willing to give up our own ideas and dreams and desires if they contradict what he wants for us? Are we willing to say, Jesus, I love you more even than I love myself? Which means that I will seek your will and not my own. Pray that it may be so. And so we have in John's story today four examples of people who expressed who Jesus was for them in their life. They expressed their love for Jesus, the first three, through service and fellowship and extravagant giving. And one showed clearly that his love for himself was stronger than his love for Jesus, and his life reflected that reality. And so my prayer for you and for me today is that when we think about who is Jesus for me, personally, relationally, may he be one that we love. And may we be willing to express our love through service and through fellowship and through a periodic extravagance where we risk being looked at as being foolish by others, but we don't care because we want to shower the one we love with our love. We want to express it in ways not only that he can see, but that other people can see. As Mary poured out that perfume on Jesus, the fragrance filled the house, we are told. What a beautiful metaphor for when Christians pour out their love on Christ and the fragrance of that service and fellowship and devotion is a beautiful fragrance that all may be a part of. The reality is, for many of us, unfortunately today, our love for ourselves is still pretty strong. We haven't yet gotten to the point where we can say, you know, who Jesus is for me is someone that I love the way that Mary and Martha and Lazarus did. Maybe I'm on my way. Maybe I'm growing. Maybe eventually I will get there. And you know, for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, it's not where they started out. We know the story of Martha. Mary comes across as being really good in both stories, but she probably had a process. And of course, Lazarus was raised from the dead. No wonder he liked Jesus. From a human perspective, we need to be careful not to be too hard on ourselves. Wherever you are today, wherever I am today, pray that the Holy Spirit may increase our love for Jesus. That indeed we may, if we're not there yet, that we may grow to be people who love him. That for us he becomes a Jesus that we serve out of love. That we have fellowship with out of love. That we are willing to be extravagant for out of love. Yes, shower the one you love with love. And things are going to be much better between you and Jesus. If only you will. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gospel in which we are spending time during these spring months. We thank you today for the story of these people who were very close to you, and they expressed their love for you, three of them, in ways that we honor, indeed, Lord, that perhaps we're even a little bit envious of. But no less ways, Lord, than we ourselves can love you, if we're willing to let go of our love for ourselves and willing to simply be with you and to do for you what you ask, and to be willing even sometimes to be seen as foolish for doing so, because we love you. May we be warned by the example of Judas, who because of his love for himself could not break through and love Jesus truly. And so in the end, he turned his back on Jesus and he followed his own way to his own destruction. Father, by your Holy Spirit who lives within each one of us who by faith have received you as our Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit, grow our love for Jesus and help us to see where our self-love is getting in the way. May we be willing to shower the one we love with a love that is expressed in these wonderful ways and in many more, and so grow closer to the one with whom we indeed will spend eternity, for he has gone to prepare a place for us so that we may be with him. In whose name we pray. Amen.